AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The federal government will keep running at least until mid-November thanks to a short-term spending bill that passed over the weekend. All of Wisconsin's congressional delegation voted for the stopgap bill, except for three Republicans. They are Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Tom Tiffany and Derek Van Orden. Wages and benefits aren't the only concerns for striking auto workers. As Stuart J. Waddles reports, so is job security.
Stellantis plants in Milwaukee and Hudson are two of the parts distribution centers on strike as part of the nationwide work stoppage. The union's demands include a 40% pay increase and a 32-hour work week. Joe New is president of United Auto Workers Local 75 in Milwaukee. He says he's working for contract language to keep Wisconsin jobs from moving to Belvedere, Illinois.
Wages mean nothing without a job. If we have no job here in Milwaukee and got to move, I've moved to six plants. So it's a big stickler for me to secure job security language, especially for Milwaukee and this local.
New spoke with WISN-TV's Upfront program. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Planned Parenthood says it plans to start performing abortions again in Sheboygan, where the district attorney says he'll consider pressing charges. But the head of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin says the law is on her side.
We are not concerned at all that we're breaking the law. The judge made it crystal clear that this does not apply to voluntary abortions. Also referenced a Supreme Court case from the 90s. So we are absolutely comfortable that we are providing care that is needed well within the letter of the law.
President and CEO Tanya Atkinson was also on Upfront yesterday. Planned Parenthood resumed abortions in Milwaukee and Madison 2 weeks ago. There are board games that help people better understand the climate crisis. And as far as Siddiqui reports, they can also calm fears about global warming.
Deborah Rosenthal, an English professor who specializes in environmental literature, says gaming may help players develop a better understanding of the issue. She says traditional games tend to be zero-sum games where one person wins and the others lose. Climate change games aren't like that.
Climate change board games tend to be more collaborative, which actually reflects the reality of working toward climate remediation and solutions where we all need to win together or we all lose together.
Rosenthal adds online video games like Climate Fresk can also help players understand the drivers and causes of climate change. Farah Siddiqui reporting.
If you love the outdoors, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is hiring. Anyone who wants to be a park ranger or manager can apply online. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Members of the Wisconsin Legislature's Administrative Rules Committee have blocked a proposed Wisconsin commercial building code update with a 6-4 vote. The building code update would have brought standards in line with the 2021 standards of the International Code Council, with advocates saying it would save energy, improve safety, and lower insurance costs. Republican lawmakers say DSPS failed to ascertain if the update would result in added costs to government or businesses. Two proposed bills in the Wisconsin State Legislature would hamper the annual World Naked Bike Ride in Madison. Last week, U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany of Northern Wisconsin brought the World Naked Bike Ride up while questioning U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland in a hearing. Wisconsin State Republicans now seek to change state law to end the current form of the event, circulating two bills for co-sponsors last week. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are headed to the playoffs. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers shut out the Cubs 4-0 Sunday. Milwaukee's Adrian Houser with the win. The crew finished the regular season with a record of 92-70. Craig Counsell.
Once Tuesday starts, it's a baseball game against another good team, and you know it's going to be a battle. You know, nobody's going to care about rest when we get to Tuesday and Wednesday. So it's a 3-game series where you got to win 2 out of 3, and you pull out all the stops to do so.
Up next, the wildcard playoffs begin tomorrow night in Milwaukee against the Arizona Diamondbacks. First pitch is tomorrow night at 6:08 in a best-of-three series. In New York, the Mets fired their manager, Buck Showalter, after just 2 years.
Well, I just had some things to contemplate. It gave me a couple options, and, you know, I think the players know I would never quit or resign.
The Mets are now going to hire David Stearns from the Brewers as their new president of operations, and he may offer the manager's job to Craig Counsell. NBA, just days before being sent to Portland, the Trailblazers have traded former Bucks Jrue Holiday to the Boston Celtics. Meanwhile, the Bucks introduced Damian Lillard to fans at a rally outside of Fiserv Forum. Some waited up to 3 hours just to get a glimpse of the guard.
I'm a diehard Bucks fan. I'm here with my whole family. The moment this opened up, we came on down. Milwaukee always comes out.
Check the watch. It's game time.
My dream is that the Bucks players would win.
Bucks in six.
NFL, the Bears were up 28-7 when the Broncos came back to beat them 31-28. Chicago's now lost 14 games in a row, the worst losing streak in franchise history. The Packers have a long week of practice before facing the Raiders in Las Vegas on Monday Night Football next week. Matt LaFleur asked if defensive back Jaire Alexander will miss any more time with that back injury.
I sure as heck hope not. We'll see. I mean, has anybody ever had a bad back in here? It's a bad deal.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens. Hey, good morning. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock now. It's a Monday. Yeah, you can tell. Guy doesn't even know if his microphone is on. Hey, welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. It's the second day of October now. Yeah, and I'm your host, Stu Daniels. And if you've been outside already today, you know you can feel it's going to be a summertime day today. Highs about 20 degrees above average for this time of the year. In La Crosse today, sunshine, high around 87 degrees. Eau Claire, mostly sunny, high around 86. In Richland Center, sunshine, high around 85. Amory, mostly sunny, high around 83 degrees. And in Hayward today, mostly sunny skies, breezy with a high around 82. Well, in sports, the big story, the Brewers, they won their final game of the regular season yesterday, 4-0 over the Cubs. Milwaukee will now play a three-game series against the Diamondbacks starting tomorrow night at American Family Field, and then the winner of that series, hopefully the Brewers, will move on to play the Dodgers. And in the headlines today, the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, has decided who he will appoint to fill the Senate seat of the late Dianne Feinstein. Also, the scientists who developed the mRNA COVID vaccines were awarded a Nobel Prize. And the business fraud trial against Donald Trump begins today in New York. But I tell you where I'm going to start today. It's with an event that went on Friday concerning the retiring of Mark Milley. And the ceremony was on Friday, celebrating this man's career
and the 4 years that he served as the Joint Chiefs Chairman, and the words that he had to say, the warning that he gave us as citizens of this country. The headline from the Washington Post says, "Retiring Milley warns of wannabe dictator," in his speech. And they say that's an apparent jab at Trump. And I would say more than just an apparent jab. But the subheadline in the Post says, "The outspoken general who is retiring over more than 40 years, retiring after more than 40 years in the military, is making way for General Charles Q. Brown Jr." This piece from the Washington Post was posted on Saturday. It says here, or actually late Friday, it says here that General Mark Milley, the Joint Chiefs Chairman who clashed with President Donald Trump but found new footing under President Biden, reiterated in his retirement speech Friday that the U.S. military is loyal to the Constitution above anything or anyone else. And his quote that you may have seen in clips on television says, "We don't take an oath to a king or a queen, to a tyrant or dictator or wannabe dictator," Milley said, in an apparent reference to Donald Trump. He added that troops did not risk their lives to watch, quote, "this great experiment in democracy perish," end quote. Milley stepped aside on Friday as his successor, General Charles Q. Brown Jr., was sworn in to the top military post in front of military personnel at Joint Base Meyer Henderson Hall in Virginia on a day filled with ceremonial traditions. That included Milley inspecting the units lined up in a large field at the base, some in Revolutionary War uniforms, a military band playing the national anthem, and the presentation of a retirement certificate. Brown will officially take over the post this weekend, meaning this past weekend. Biden, alongside Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and Vice President Harris, praised the general, Milley, for providing advice that was steady and to the point. Biden also commended him for prioritizing American democracy above all. When it comes to the Constitution, that is and always has been Mark's North Star, Biden said. Milley's sometimes tumultuous 4-year tenure as chairman capped a career that spanned more than 4 decades. His was one of the most consequential and polarizing tenures of any military leader in recent memory. Milley was atop the Pentagon during the Trump administration's chaotic final months, the Biden administration's frantic withdrawal from Afghanistan, and the ongoing effort to aid Ukraine as the Russian invasion draws close to the 2-year mark. To his frustrated critics, Milley often voiced his opinion on hot-button issues, notably defending a policy implemented after the U.S. Capitol attack in 2021 that mandated military personnel to study domestic extremism. In one viral moment stemming from Republican attacks, he told members of Congress, quote, "I want to understand white rage, and I'm white." Supporters lauded Milley for standing up to what they viewed as Trump's dangerous ambitions. After the police killing of George Floyd in 2020, when Trump called for clearing demonstrators out of Lafayette Square near the White House, Milley initially walked alongside the president and other top administration officials as they marched to a church for a photo opportunity. The general peeled off from the procession and later issued a public apology, saying it was a mistake to be there. Quote, "My presence in that moment and in that environment created the perception of the military involved in domestic politics, Milley said. On Friday, the leaders interspersed warnings with a lighter tone. Milley joked that the very fact that it was the last time the public would hear from him in uniform was, quote, quote, cause for applause. And Austin teased Milley about wearing his Boston roots on his sleeve while quoting Boston Bruins hockey great Bobby Orr on the virtues of hard work. Before welcoming Brown and thanking Milley for his service, Biden paid tribute to Dianne Feinstein, the Democratic senator from California, who died on Thursday at age 90, quote, Dianne made her mark on everything from national security to the environment, gun safety to protecting civil liberties, Biden said. After about 45 minutes of ceremonies, including musical numbers and the presentations of the colors, Milley asked Brown to raise his right hand, flanked by troops and his wife, Shireen. The outgoing chief then swore in Brown, saying his successor was the right person to lead the military during such a fraught time. The two then saluted each other and shook hands with Biden, Austin, and Harris. In his speech, Brown said it was a tremendous privilege to become the 21st chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is the second black man to lead the Joint Chiefs after General Colin Powell. Brown's nomination to the chairman's job was approved by the Senate last week, the week before, since this was posted on Friday, week before last, amid an ongoing hold on about 300 other senior officer promotions by Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, Republican. Tuberville has imposed a blockade in a bid to force the Biden administration to rescind its abortion policy, which reimburses travel expenses incurred by service members unable to obtain the procedure in the state where they are assigned. Austin urged lawmakers to swiftly confirm the remaining nominees. Biden called the blockade outrageous. It's thoroughly, totally unacceptable, Biden said on Friday. I've been here a long time. I've never seen anything like this, with these promotions held hostage by the political agenda of one senator. 8:17 right now, going to take our first break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
To trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company. And seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Daytime highs approaching 83 today. Under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 64 tonight. Highs around 80 tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 67 Wednesday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers 59 on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 66.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Yeah, it's all right. It is all right. 23 minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Monday morning, the first Monday of October. Hope you're having a good day so far. In La Crosse right now, it is 60 degrees with sunshine. Richland Center has 52 degrees with sunshine. And the next story I want to get to here as we go over the headlines is the story I mentioned at the top of the show about the Nobel Prize going to the scientists behind
the mRNA COVID vaccines. And I have a story here from BBC News, and this was posted this morning. It says here, the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine has been awarded to a pair of scientists who developed the technology that led to the mRNA COVID vaccines. You know, that was brand new technology when we started the pandemic, I guess you could put it that way. But obviously, it worked pretty well, because for the people who did get the vaccines, according to the statistics, they didn't get as sick and they died at a much lower rate than people who did not get the vaccines. Professors Catalin Carrico and Drew Weissman will share the prize. The technology was experimental before the pandemic, but has now been given to millions of people around the world to protect them against serious COVID-19. The same mRNA technology is now being researched for other diseases, including cancer. The Nobel Prize committee said the laureates contributed to the unprecedented rate of vaccine development during one of the greatest threats to human health in modern times. Both were told they had won by telephone this morning and were said to be overwhelmed. Vaccines train the immune system to recognize and fight threats such as viruses or bacteria. Traditional vaccine technology has been based on dead or weakened versions of the original virus or bacterium, or by using fragments of the infectious agent. In contrast, messenger ribonucleic acid, mRNA vaccines, use a completely different approach. During the COVID pandemic, the Moderna and Pfizer-BioNTech vaccines were both based on mRNA technology. Professor Carrico and Professor Weissman met in the early 1990s when they were working at the University of Pennsylvania, when their interest in mRNA was seen as a scientific backwater. An mRNA COVID vaccine contains the genetic instructions for building one component, a protein, from the coronavirus. When this is injected into the body, our cells start producing lots of the viral protein. The immune system then recognizes these as foreign, so it attacks and has learned how to fight the virus, and therefore has a head start when future infections occur. And the big idea behind the technology is that you can rapidly develop a vaccine against almost anything as long as you know the right genetic instructions to use. And this makes it far faster and more flexible than traditional approaches to vaccine development. So congratulations to the professors, Catalin Carrico and Drew Weissman. We've got 8:27, almost 8:28 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into your local Civic Media radio station.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. The Nobel Prize in Medicine has been handed out to two scientists whose discoveries enabled the development of mRNA vaccines against COVID-19. Donald Trump says he'll be in a New York courtroom today as the start of a civil trial against his company begins. A judge has already determined that there is enough evidence to show Trump and his sons committed fraud in business dealings. Student loan payments have resumed.
We are talking about 28 million borrowers who, as of this month, are on the hook again for their federal student loan payments. And this is after more than 3 years where you didn't have to make the payments. You actually didn't have interest adding up.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze. California Governor Gavin Newsom appointing Emily's List president LaFonza Butler to fill Senator Dianne Feinstein's seat. Emily's List works to get Democratic pro-choice women elected. Butler will quit that job to take the new one. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking to hire full-time park rangers and park managers. The DNR has park ranger openings at Kettle Moraine State Forest Northern Unit in Fond du Lac County and Governor Dodge State Park in Iowa County. There are also park manager and other openings at Kettle Moraine State Forest, Amnicon Falls State Park in Douglas County, and Richard Bong State Recreational Area in Racine County. The dairy industry has filed the lawsuit to eliminate Wisconsin protections against contamination from concentrated animal feeding operations. According to a Daily Yonder report, the Wisconsin Dairy Alliance and Venture Dairy Cooperative sued the State Department of Natural Resources, arguing CAFOs should no longer have to apply for water pollution permits based on a discrepancy between state law and the Federal Clean Water Act. The Wisconsin Farmers Union opposes the change, arguing it eliminates the primary source of environmental oversight of CAFOs in the state. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Timeout!
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Rock and roll music and I love to get the chance to play. About the happiest sound going down today. The message may not move me or mean a great deal to me, but hey, it feels so groovy to say.
I dig the mamas and the papas at the Trip Sunset Strip in L.A. music, I could really get it on in that scene. I think I could say something, if you know what I mean. But if I really say it, the radio won't play it, unless I lay it between the lines. Ba 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 ba.
Yes, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 8:35 right now. It's music from Peter, Paul, and Mary. I dig rock and roll music. Hey, we've got 65 degrees right now in Eau Claire with sunshine. In Amory, also 65 degrees with sunshine. And the next story that I want to get to in the news today is the big story that happened over the weekend. Were you paying attention? Were you sitting on the edge of your seat on Saturday as the government almost ground to a halt? Well, fortunately, at the last second, things came together. And we are funded for another 45 days or so. Congress dodged a government shutdown. And I have here a list of the winners and losers from a messy fight. This is from USA Today. The subheadline says, Congress narrowly avoided a government shutdown, extending funding through November 17th. But the deal didn't come without winners and losers. This piece was just posted this morning at USA Today. And it starts out by saying that Congress successfully averted a government shutdown on Saturday in a shocking twist. After lawmakers made no progress on keeping the government's doors open for weeks on end, their temporary deal, referred to as a continuing resolution, keeps government funding at current levels until November 17th. The legislation kicks the can down the road while lawmakers try to negotiate a longer-term solution. But in the meantime, Americans can be relieved for the moment without a potential shutdown looming over the country, which could have furloughed hundreds of thousands of federal employees, delayed food assistance programs, and more. But while the continuing resolution received overwhelming bipartisan support in both the House and Senate, it didn't leave everyone happy. And so we have here a list of the winners and losers. And by the way, were you paying attention on Saturday when this thing was coming together? If you were, you probably know that House Speaker Kevin McCarthy offered the extremist Republicans everything that they were asking for originally, and they still weren't willing to go along with it. They like to throw a wrench into the gears and upset the apple cart. And so after he offered them everything that they were asking for and they still weren't willing to vote for it, then he decided to work with the Democrats. Yep. And he left those extremists, Mark Gates, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the others behind. And he actually did the right thing. I mean, you have to admit that McCarthy did the right thing by getting the government funded, by passing the bill in the end so that the government would stay open and most of us would not be put through the government shutdown and the effects of it that would probably affect each and every one of us. So according to the story in the USA Today, one of the winners are millions of Americans. It says here, as the country barreled towards September 30th, the expiration date for government funding, a shutdown looked all but certain as House Republicans were engulfed in a bitter intra-party conflict. Conservative hardliners demanded spending cuts that had zero chance of passing in the Democratic-controlled Senate and weren't palatable for some moderate Republican lawmakers. But with government funding extended, millions of Americans, including federal workers and families who rely on government benefits, can breathe a sigh of relief. If a shutdown did occur,
federal workers deemed non-essential would be furloughed. Those deemed essential would have to work without pay, receiving back pay after the shutdown ended. The Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, known as WIC, would have paused in the event of a shutdown, endangering access to healthy food and baby formula for low-income pregnant women, breastfeeding women, and children under the age of five. With a shutdown averted for now, those families who rely on the program will continue receiving support from the major social safety net. So the in-betweens, not really winners, not really losers, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. A Republican from California, he took a victory lap following the stopgap's passage in the House and went after the critics who doubted whether he could avoid a government shutdown. The California Republican has made it a habit to chide reporters for doubting him through multiple crises and tough votes, such as intense negotiations to raise the debt ceiling and pass the annual defense policy bill earlier this year. But the deal to keep the government open still has its negatives for McCarthy, who now faces an immediate threat from conservative hardliner Matt Gaetz, Republican from Florida, and other hard-right allies to oust him from the speakership. Gaetz, leading up to the temporary deal, warned he would file what is known as a motion to vacate to attempt to remove McCarthy from his post if the speaker worked with Democrats to avoid a shutdown. After the stopgap deal, which received more Democratic support than Republican support in the House, passed, Gaetz announced his plans to challenge McCarthy Sunday morning, yesterday. He said, that's nothing new. Or this is actually McCarthy talking here. He said, that's nothing new. He's tried to do that from the moment I ran for office, McCarthy said on CBS's Face the Nation, after Gaetz vowed to try to remove him from his leadership position. This is personal with Matt, is the quote from McCarthy. Leading up to the September 30th funding deadline, McCarthy also insisted on trying to pass a party line package solely supported by Republican lawmakers and hesitated to work with Democrats to avert a shutdown. But as a shutdown inched closer and closer, the speaker relented and made a significant shift in strategy that Democrats have spun as their victory. House Democrats are also kind of in the middle as neither winners nor losers. It says here, as House Republicans made no progress towards averting a shutdown for weeks, House Democrats repeatedly urged McCarthy to put forth a clean continuing resolution with no spending cuts to avert a shutdown. After the House passed that clean but temporary deal on Saturday, Democratic lawmakers claimed victory for avoiding the shutdown and suggested they forced McCarthy's hand. I think we won, Representative Jim McGovern, Democrat from Massachusetts, told reporters before voting for the continuing resolution. House Minority Whip Representative Catherine Clark, Democrat from Massachusetts, said McCarthy admitted defeat when he put the measure on the floor. McCarthy asked Democrats to put out the fire that he and his party had started, Clark said at a press conference on Saturday. But House Democrats didn't get everything they wanted. They were also insistent on including additional U.S. aid to Ukraine in the deal. And when McCarthy put the clean stopgap on the floor hours away from a shutdown, Democratic lawmakers ultimately ended up supporting the bill to keep the government open, even if it meant punting Ukraine aid to a separate vote. So who are the losers in the almost government shutdown? According to this USA Today article, it says here, losers are Matt Gaetz and the hard right. Hardline conservatives have impeded McCarthy's attempts to avert a shutdown every step of the way. They tanked traditionally procedural votes for long-term spending bills and sank a short-term deal to keep the government open in an open rebellion against McCarthy's leadership. That short-term deal, which included a slate of conservative spending cuts, was not amicable enough to ultra-conservatives who voted against the bill in what was a temporary blow to McCarthy's efforts to dodge a shutdown. Some of those hard-right lawmakers, such as Representative Matt Rosendale, Republican from Montana, refused to support essentially any continuing resolution. Rosendale, along with some of his conservative colleagues, said they were okay with a government shutdown if it meant Congress would focus on passing the long-term spending bills. The Montana conservative, in particular, has downplayed a shutdown as a government slowdown. But after passing on the opportunity to approve a conservative funding deal, the hardliners caused McCarthy to push through a stopgap with no spending cuts at all and work with Democrats, sidestepping the ultra-conservatives. In the face of Gates's threats to oust McCarthy, the Speaker welcomed the challenge and effectively called his bluff. "I'll survive," McCarthy said on CBS's Face the Nation. "Bring it on. Let's get over with it and let's start governing." And that sounds good to me. One of the other big losers, of course, was the Ukraine aid, which will be voted on in a separate bill. We've got 8:46 right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast.
Daytime highs approaching 83 today. Under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the south, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 64 tonight. Highs around 80 tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 67 Wednesday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Chance for scattered rain showers 59 on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 68.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Anything you want to do at 8:54 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. It is 62 degrees in La Crosse right now with sunshine. Hayward has 67 degrees under mostly sunny skies. And we've been discussing the events that went on over the weekend, the almost government shutdown, and the results of that, the implications of that. Will Matt Gaetz attempt to remove the Speaker McCarthy from his position? I guess it remains to be seen. He says he will, since McCarthy had to work with the Democrats. But AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, says she would absolutely vote to oust McCarthy, calling him a very weak speaker. The congresswoman quipped that in attempting to avert a shutdown, Republicans were running around the House, like the House of Representatives, like a Roomba until they found a door that House Democrats opened. That is the headline and subheadline from Rolling Stone, a piece posted yesterday by Peter Wade with a above the headline. It says, "Strange Bedfellows." I'll give you a little bit of this piece. It says, "In a rare moment of unity, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez said she would support Representative Matt Gaetz's efforts to remove House Speaker Kevin McCarthy from his leadership position." She said, quote, "It's not up to Democrats to save the Republicans from themselves," the New York Congresswoman said when Jake Tapper asked if she would vote to keep McCarthy as speaker, adding that Democrats wouldn't support him for nothing. "I think Kevin McCarthy is a very weak speaker," she said. "He clearly has lost control of his caucus. He brought the United States and millions of Americans to the brink, waiting until the final hour to keep the government open, and even then, only issuing a 45-day extension. So we're going to be right back in this place in November," end quote. Late Saturday night, Congress passed and President Joe Biden signed a 45-day funding bill to keep the government open and avoid forcing millions of Americans, including members of the military, to go without pay. More Democrats in both the House and Senate voted to keep the government open than Republicans. Here's a quote. Says the Republican Party is completely out of touch with the American people. "We saw them go through every possible iteration of cutting benefits," Ocasio-Cortez said of the budget negotiations. "They tried to cut across the board 30% of the budgets of critical agencies like the Social Security Administration. Some of the most moderate members of the Republican Party casted votes for things like 80% cuts under the Department of Education to low-income schools. This is not a moderate party, period. They are not moderates in the Republican Party. They are just different degrees of fealty to Donald Trump," end quote. And it says here, the congresswoman quipped that in attempting to avert a shutdown, Republicans were running around the House like a Roomba until they found a door that House Democrats opened. "They finally realized that we should not shut the government down in order to deny trans service members the ability to get health care, in order to deny female service members the ability to get an abortion," end quote. 8:58. Going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned into your local civic media radio station.
Town on a boat from the southern islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papeete. Off the wind on this heading line.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the ABC Civic News Media app.
I'm Mike DeBakey.